God the Father is called our comfort. The Holy Spirit, again, John 14, 16, and I will send the comforter, the paraclete, right? And then Jesus here called the comforter. The Trinity is a God of comfort. Our God is a fountain of comfort, a fountain of strength and consolation and compassion and encouragement. This is what he does.
What's up, Living the Light listeners? We hope you're having a wonderful day today, and it's a great day to tune in because we are right at the beginning of a brand new series, walking verse by verse through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we are calling it Strength in Weakness. We're starting right at the beginning with today's message in chapter 1 with a message called A Theology of Comfort. If you missed last time, you only have one show to catch up on, so go right over to Spotify or on our website at livingthelight.ca. to listen there. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, who's the author of the book, is writing letters to the church at Corinth, telling them that genuine Christ followers align with Christ through adversity and suffering. This is where we find Paul in today's message, telling his readers that God is the God of comfort. Hey, if you need this message like I do today, let's jump in together to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's Pastor Robbie.
I love etymology sometimes. I find it very interesting. And of course, the word comfort from the Latin, again, original, the prefix calm with, and then fortis, of course, strength, right? To comfort someone is to come alongside with strength. Incredibly biblical as well. So rooted in the original Greek there too. This is what comfort means. God comes to us with his strength. He strengthens us. I've been overwhelmed how much the Bible talks about the strength of God. How much we need the strength and power of God within our lives, right? So what are we learning here? The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. There is no affliction God cannot reach. There is no sorrow God cannot meet with grace. There is no sorrow in this room that God cannot meet with grace. There is no affliction that God cannot comfort in this room right now. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. So this becomes a very important piece of theology for us, by the way. This is like today, again, I've been chewing on this. I've been so blessed personally this week. I just so much want you to share and how I've been blessed, and I pray you will be through the word today. Let's do a little practical theology of comfort. Here's what Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth. He's like, listen. God is guaranteed and has in our past, he's delivered us and comforted us. Is it true that in our past, God has brought comfort? The answer is yes. Listen, not always the way we would expect, not always on our timing, but he has. He always comes through because he's perfect in character and he's perfect in deliverance and comfort. Our past is a sign of the guaranteed comfort of God, again, that has, again, come before. Then we have the future assurance or the promise of God's comfort in the future. Ultimately, when Christ returns, but also in this life, God is true to his character. He guarantees our comfort in the future, and we know he has been perfectly true to his comfort in the past. So past comfort, acknowledge. Future, again, comfort. We know by faith this is going to happen. So then past, again, reality, future guarantee leads now then. You take the past, the promise of the future, and now you apply it to the present. And when this theology is being loaded up into your mind and renewing your mind with who God is, then all of a sudden you're like, he's been perfectly faithful in the past. He promised he'd be perfectly faithful in the future. So that means right now I can take in the present, I can have peace of mind. There's many need to apply that right now, because really what you're doing in the present is just guarantee what's going to come in the future. And the peace of mind, no matter where I find myself right now, no matter what I'm doing, the reality is I belong to the God of all comfort, who comforts me in all my affliction, the power of the Lord. I want you to notice too, okay? Listen, this is so, so important. Our emotional comfort does not come from within ourselves, okay? You have, church, you have to, brothers, sisters, you have to realize Your emotional comfort in life will never come from places, again, that the world says that they do, okay? You're never going to find it from yourself saying you're enough and believing yourself and you're so great. And like, maybe you think you're great, but again, you're sinful. Like, it's just like, I don't think I'm great. I think I'm a desperate sinner in need of a beautiful Savior, okay? Listen, your comfort, I love saying things like this. Your comfort will never come from Taylor Swift. Yes, yes, yes. It's awesome. So good. Okay, I just love saying that as a representation of what so many people are trying to live for. Your comfort will never come from self-help. Your comfort will never come from your next job and your bigger paycheck. It'll never come from that. Stop being so dumb, right? We're so dumb. Like, we keep living these lives like somehow we're going to find comfort in these useless, stupid, superficial, empty, meaningless pursuits that the world says, oh yeah, it's going to be great. And you get there and you're like disappointed again because we're dumb. I'll just speak for myself. I am dumb, all right? Jesus Christ is the only one who comforts. The God, the Father of all mercies, is the only one who can truly comfort. This is what we have to realize. And the moments of truth and perspective to say, man, I will not find comfort in from myself or the world around me. The comfort comes from the God of all comfort. I wanted to bring this up. I think it's important for several reasons. So my wife, Jill, and I, we were at the launch of Hope Hamilton last weekend. A couple of our kids were with us as well. And that was an exciting time. So we get there. And just to give you an update, the place exploded in week one. You know, there's going to be well-wishers. We're not sure. We'll see what happens today and kind of in the weeks to come. But there was standing room only. There was no parking. Overflow room was overflowing. They ran out of seats. I think this is right. They had to send 50 people away. They literally had no room in the building, okay? This was a church. Like, they're renting a church. This before this. It was a building had 10 people a week in it. And now all of a sudden, 1 week, I was pulling in. I saw, like, people in the neighborhood. I'm pretty sure they were like, what in the world is happening there now, right? It's so exciting. So we'll see what happens in weeks to come. Super exciting. So my wife Jill and I sat down. I felt bad for taking a seat, by the way, but I was praying during the service and so needed to be there in some form. But I was sitting down, and as the buzz and all the stuff was happening, and I said, hey, Jill, could you see this day when we started in 2003 in our core group of 18 people in a small office building in Oakville? Could you imagine this day? She's like, I could not imagine this day. I said, I couldn't either. It's a moment of such perspective for me, such perspective, which I love so much. I love so much. Because in 2003, and by the way, I was 28 years old at that time. Oh my goodness. And here we are all these years later. And listen, and you take 2+ decades of all that we've seen, right? Hey, there are so many highs and there are so many lows. There are so many joys and so many sorrows, yes. There's so many victories and so many seemingly defeats, right? Like the up and down, all the high. And you sit there in a moment and you see, has God been faithful? Has he comforted? Oh, yes, he has. And I sat there in that moment. I had such a peace come over me as to the reality of the comfort and the goodness and the faithfulness of God. You continue to trust him. You continue to look to him. And you get to see days where another church is planted and the gospel is proclaimed, and they're going to do a work that we could never do here in Oakville. It's so awesome because this is what the God, amen. This is what the God of all comfort, this is what the God of all comfort does, okay? Point number two is this, theology of comfort. This is huge. Our affliction is designed to produce God's comfort. This is big boy Christianity now. This is big girl Christianity. Our affliction is designed by God to produce God's comfort. Look at verse 4, okay? So notice, who comforts us in all our affliction, notice, so that, what is that? In the Greek called the henna clause. This is the result of the preceding truth, right? Comforts us in our affliction, so we sit there, nope. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, right? So what's happening here? This is what's happening here, okay? One of the powerful designs of affliction in the life of the Christ follower is that it allows us to experience, listen, the supernatural comfort of God. Say it again, okay? One of God's foremost designs in affliction in our lives is that it allows us to experience the comfort of God through our lives, right? So what do I mean by that? So often, the trials of life are that which produces the greatest testimonies of God's grace. Over and over again, it's the hardship and suffering that produces the supernatural comfort of God, again, as our Savior. I think I mentioned this maybe a month and a half ago or something, but it was just a year and a couple months ago. my wife and I, we send our daughter Bliss in for cancer surgery again in like June of 2024. And you send her in to strangers who are gonna, and we were sitting down in the hospital cafeteria, and I remember I'm like nibbling on a piece of toast or something. There's just me and Jill and like a spattering of people, and you're waiting. And because of the grace of God, and because of no doubt the prayers of God's people from this place so filled with love and grace towards us, I'm telling you, I was sitting there nibbling on a piece of toast, and I have rarely felt more peace in my entire life. I sat there and the comfort of God was so overwhelming to me. Jill, you're here right now too. And I remember, in some ways, I'm like, I never want this feeling to end. That's how powerful it was, okay? Let me say this and put it this way bluntly, okay? No cancer, no comfort. Not like that. I've never experienced in that degree, in that situation, something like that. It was so overwhelming. I'm like, I do not want this feeling and peace to end. I tell you, I was like, man, for heaven and what's going to, oh my goodness. And the grace of God. But again, listen, no cancer, no comfort. Not like that. I think of over all the years, man, 2 decades plus now preaching here in this place, I think of how many times I've essentially been crawling to the pulpit, broken, undergoing spiritual opposition. I am so weak, so desperate for God. Stand up to preach, fighting discouragement. Like anyone seeing, you wouldn't know. I mean, just kind of, just everything looks fine. It's not fine. And I remember you stand to preach, and then all of a sudden, in your absolute brokenness and so devastated in so many ways, and then the grace of God meets you in that moment. You open up the word, and you're sitting here, and all of a sudden, God's grace, it's so undeserved. It's entirely undeserved. It is all his kindness and favor and answered prayer and blessing, and all of a sudden his grace floods your soul. And what happens to Robbie up here? He melts under the grace of God. Tears fill his eyes and start running down his cheeks. And people listening say, oh, Pastor Robbie's sad today. No, he's not sad today. He is overwhelmed by God's grace and God's comfort, which is melting him when he knows all he deserves is the opposite of that. And it breaks you, and it blesses you, and it completely consumes you. And you're like, it's all God. And it's so humbling and so powerful and so awesome. Listen, and this is in the affliction that God brings us comfort. When you are down and weak and you are so broken, this is the opportunity to see God comfort you in a way you would not know otherwise. Big boy Christianity today. Big girl Christianity today. Listen, and all of you have so many stories. All of you have so many stories, again, where you could tell me how God comforted you, again, in some of your hardest and darker moments. And by the way, the principle here, again, this is important theology leading to very important application. Listen, ready? This is why you don't want life to be easy all the time. This is why you don't want life to be easy all the time. Because if life is easy all the time, then in some form, in some way, you miss out on the incredible supernatural comfort of God. You hear me? This is big girl Christianity. You don't want life to be easy all the time because in some form you miss out on the supernatural comfort of God. Can we admit right now that one of the greatest idols in our lives, in our society, but in our lives is the worship of worldly comfort? Can we just admit that? You want to talk about a hindrance to God's power flooding your life? You want to talk about a confession of sin that we need to offer to God? That we would say individually, as families, as a church, as whatever, to say, God, so often we worship the comfort of the world. We want ease. We want pleasure. We want leisure. We don't want suffering. We don't want trial. We don't want heartache. We want everything to go our way. And if we want that, we don't want God. At least not the way that God works. I'm pausing because I don't want to rush this moment, man. I think this is one of the greatest diseases we face. Let's examine worldly comfort versus godly comfort. Biblical counseling right here, massively important slide. Worldly comfort is based on external circumstances, right? I want to be comforted in possession, status, success, entertainment, escape, whatever it is, on and on and on. That's worldly comfort. Make my situation just be better. Godly comfort comes from the presence and promises of God. Let's see your Netflix series compete with the presence of God. And godly comfort receives the strengthening and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Again, let's see the world do that. It doesn't. Let's see your possessions do that. It can't. Let's see your status at work do that. It never will, ever, ever. Worldly comfort seeks to avoid, this is good, seeks to avoid pain and numb pain. That's exactly what worldly comfort does. Godly comfort wants to redeem pain and be transformed within our pain. Wow. Worldly comfort, the world says, escape your suffering. Oh, yes, it does. And godly comfort, God says, encounter me within your suffering. Worldly comfort is fleeting and fragile, centers on self. Godly comfort is eternal and enduring and centers on God. This slide right here is massive. Like, if I'm you, I'm taking a picture. I hardly ever say that, okay? But like, because what do I want? I want us to sit on this and to say, Lord, where's my heart? What am I really going for in this life? What do I really want right now? Am I living biblical Christianity, or am I living some representation of secular ideology and philosophy? But there's more to this point here. One of the great designs of our affliction is that we receive comfort from God, and then we are now able to comfort others. Again, verse four. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, right? So how true is this, right? So we know this. Those who have experienced the greatest hardships in areas of grief and loss and trial and hurt and suffering and affliction for Christ, they are dramatically able to comfort others who go through similar forms of suffering. That is so true, right? So we often try to connect people in this church. You've got to come up to me or one of the pastors, and you're going through something again which is incredibly difficult, but I myself have no experience. I can pray, I can care, and I can love, but you connect you with someone who's been through something similar, and the ministry is tenfold. The understanding and the sympathy and the compassion is so powerful because the person's like, I know. How many ministries have been supernaturally born out of suffering? How many ministries that we know about, thousands and thousands and thousands of ministries, incredibly powerful ministries, have been born out of suffering? Just a few by example. Johnny and Friends, Johnny Erickson Tata, diving accident, 14 years old, broke her neck, paralyzed for the rest of her life. Her ministry to those with disabilities and accessibility ministry, she has reached millions and millions of people. She is such a sweet woman of God, loves the gospel, loves the word, so humble, persevering, unbelievable what God has done through her. No broken neck, no ministry. Not like that. Unbelievable. Voice of the Martyrs. Incredible ministry to pray for and care for the persecuted church, born out of immense suffering from those who were devastatingly persecuted for the faith in Jesus Christ. How about Grief Share? Grief Share, a ministry to those suffering personal loss of loved ones, born out of profound loss by those, again, who started it. Elizabeth Elliot lost her husband, who was murdered, again, witnessing for Jesus Christ in Central America. Elizabeth Elliot could have rejected the whole thing. She takes up that ministry, ends up reaching countless amounts of people for the gospel of Jesus Christ because from her suffering came untold beauty. Paul says, God comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Wow. And then verse 5, look at verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You know what this phrase is saying? It's saying this. It's saying, if we are flooded with the sufferings of Christ, then be assured we will also be flooded with the comfort of Christ. Notice too, right? Notice in verse 5, notice that phrase, through Christ. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Through Christ. I love this. So in this text, comforter. God the Father is called our comfort. The Holy Spirit, again, John 14, 16, and I will send the comforter, the paraclete, right? And then Jesus here called the comforter. The Trinity is a God of comfort. Our God is a fountain of comfort. a fountain of strength and consolation and compassion and encouragement. This is what he does. Okay, listen. You will never find comfort from alcohol. We try, it doesn't work, ever. It just ruins our lives. We will never find comfort through our sports team, okay? I'm cheering for the Jays tonight too, okay? I am. I will admit right off the bat, man, I'm a huge bandwagon baseball fan. I didn't watch an inning until August, okay? Listen, but in the end, you know, but there's a lot of people that don't. They're looking for comfort in the Jays right now. Like that's the whole city of Toronto, because we're all looking to join a winning side. Somehow we think that's going to satisfy. You want a winning side? His name is Jesus Christ, okay? Undefeated all time. Undefeated all time. Amen. I clap for that too. Amen. I saw someone just do that. That's awesome. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. That's so good. Right? But it's so true, right? Listen, you will never, ever, ever find comfort again on social media or trying to be popular. Again, can Pastor Robbie just take a time out again on this issue? Can we not be so dumb? The amount of people you're trying to find satisfaction and comfort by scrolling on some idiotic people talking about idiotic things that have no bearing of Jesus Christ. Again, I lose my mind. I think I'm allowed to do this, honestly. Where we are listening to people who don't know Jesus Christ, who have no salvation, who have no wisdom of God, who have no purpose in Jesus Christ, and somehow we get our lead from them. Oh, that drives me crazy. You can't be that dumb. Like, seriously, why would you take your lead from fallen people who have no sense of Jesus Christ? Pray for them that they would, then maybe follow them, okay? But if you're living your life based on people who are leading you away from Jesus Christ, I'm just like, please no. Come on, man. Come on. Young people, opportunities of wisdom right now. What you doing, bro? What you doing? Following that, going where? Nowhere good. In the end, go into eternal darkness away from God. The only one who can provide comfort is Jesus Christ. He's the only one, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. A theology of comfort. Our God is the God of all comfort. Our affliction is designed to produce comfort, which is amazing. Thirdly, ordained suffering leads to increased endurance, leads to greater comfort. This is a very powerful sequence that Scripture is teaching us. Look at verse 6 now, okay? So he says, if we are afflicted, okay, ordained suffering, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer, okay? What is Paul saying here? He's saying this. This is deep and this is powerful, okay? Paul's saying this. Paul says, God has ordained suffering in my life in order to produce endurance and comfort in yours. Not a small piece of theology here. He's saying God has ordained suffering in my life to produce endurance and supernatural comfort in your life. Did anyone in our context suffer more than the Apostle Paul? No. The answer's got to be no. I mean, there's nothing in Scripture that will tell us anyone suffered more than Paul, physically, relationally, opposed by demonic forces, the brutality that he suffered under. Listen, the Apostle Paul was set apart to uniquely suffer for the greater benefit of the church. It's mind-boggling to me. His battle against opponents, satanic forces, unbelievable hardship, was used to produce supernatural comfort among the people of God. Ordained suffering, endurance, increased endurance, and then greater comfort. This is how God works, man. This is not the world, man. The world has no clue. And if you want proof of this, well, this is what God said to Ananias about Saul's conversion. For Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. Look at, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Wow. Paul set apart to suffer for Jesus Christ, which Paul praises God for. Paul's not like, man, this whole thing stinks. I'm out of here. He's worshiping God for God's design that affliction leads to comfort, that suffering leads to glory. Amazing. So in many ways, listen, you want a leadership principle? This is a powerful leadership principle. The more broken Paul is, the more blessing the people receive. That's a sobering principle of Christian leadership. The more broken the leader becomes, the more blessed the people are. I would say this, that's a devastatingly beautiful principle of Christian leadership. It is devastating and it is beautiful. But that's the way it goes. The more broken you are, the more beautiful you become, and the more supernatural comfort from God comes from your life and blesses the people. The sufferings of God produce the power of God upon Paul's life. And again, he praises God. He praises God for his suffering. Remember, his opponents were accusing him of too much suffering. And Paul's like, no. It's the very thing that validates, again, my apostleship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, these would be the same people that would have such a hard time with Jesus, because Jesus was Messiah and Jesus suffered to the point that he died on a cross. And how many people said he could never be Messiah? Messiah would never die in such a way. That is the worst possible death we could ever imagine under Roman crucifixion. And yet, this is the exact plan of God for the salvation of the world, that he would send his son to die, to be afflicted, to suffer horribly, because that's the only way that he could pay for the sins of mankind, of humankind, and then to be raised from the dead, defeating death forever. The ways of God are not the ways of man. But this is the heart of the gospel, right? Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it explodes with life-giving supernatural fruit. It's a principle in creation. It's a principle in all spiritual life. This is the gospel. Through death comes life. This is how God works. Affliction comes comfort. It's going to end with a little fictional story, obviously, here, but I think it wraps up in so many ways what we're trying to say. A water bearer carried two large pots on a pole across his neck. One pot was perfect. The other had a crack. Every day, the crack pot arrived half empty, ashamed of its flaw. One day, the pot apologized to the water bearer, and the bearer smiled and said, "Did you not notice that flowers grow only on your side of the path? I planted seeds there, and you've been watering them all along." We all need a theology of comfort, because the reality is, in our affliction, that's where God produces his greatest comfort, and he receives the greatest glory. Isn't God's word awesome? God's word is awesome. Let's pray, church, together. Father, we do love you. We love your word. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the challenge, but I pray the deep encouragement that makes sense of the difficulties of life. The world has no idea, no clue. In Christ alone, my hope is found. You are our comforter. Would you comfort your people? I pray you have been and you are doing right now. You are coming alongside with strength. And we will be a people watering the seeds everywhere we go through what you have ordained us to go through, but how you will use us again to bless and comfort others. Father, you don't comfort us just to be comforted. You comfort us that ultimately we also will be comforters. Again, Lord, I pray we are maturing and growing for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna-